Well, I don't know about you, but I think the events of the last year have proven to be rather a humbling experience for us, haven't they? It's been a year or 18 months really unlike any other. I mean, think about it. If you go back in your mind to the dim and distant past, if you go back to New Year's Day 2020, when people are making their New Year's resolutions, when they're reading those lists of all the things to look forward to in the year to come, who would have thought that that 2020 would have been a year that would be dominated by a global pandemic rather than another year of rather dull and dry trade negotiations, as we were all worrying about Brexit? Who would have thought on that New Year's Day that the government would ever make it illegal for people from two different households to mix together? It seems remarkable to think that that would ever happen in any of our lifetimes. Who would have ever thought then that face masks and hand sanitizer and social distancing and things called furloughs would ever become a part of our daily life? Who would have ever thought that schools would close for 6 months? I think if you'd told me as a schoolboy that schools would ever close for 6 months, that would be beyond my wildest dreams. But if you've ever felt over the last year as if the world has been rather out of control, as if the events of the news couldn't be any more unpredictable, well, I don't think you're alone in feeling like that. And it's not a nice feeling to feel like the world is out of control, is it? It can leave us feeling worried and anxious and dizzy and, well, powerless. Well, this morning, as we continue our sermon series in James's letter, we're going to be hearing together this morning how it is both good and bad news that we're not in control. Because we're so used to being able to make plans and for our plans to at least roughly work out. But the events of the last year and the words that we'll hear from James this morning should wake us up to the fact that we're not in control. But if we're Christians, that is actually a very comforting piece of news. So please do turn with me towards the end of the Bibles to James's letter. The words will appear on the screen above as well. And James writes this in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. James writes this. He says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Well, let's start with the bad news together this morning, shall we? The bad news is that you're not in control. You're not in control. And this is in verses 13 to 14. Now, James starts our passage by criticizing some merchants, some business people who just want to go and make a bit of profit. They say that today or tomorrow we're going to go to this or that city. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to carry on business and make money. Now, what's wrong with that? Because making plans is a good and sensible thing to do. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian business person who's working hard, trying to make a bit of money. In fact, it's positively commended in the Old Testament, in books like Proverbs, or in the New Testament, in places like Colossians. Making plans and working hard is good and sensible. And we make plans in all areas of our lives all the time. From what we're planning on eating for lunch today, all the way to what we're going to do on our summer holidays, to even bigger plans, like plans to get on the housing ladder or have some kids or even when we plan to retire. We aim to make plans in all areas of our lives, and it's a very normal thing to do. You see, the problem here is that James is pointing out for these business people that they presume that they'll be able to carry out their plans. They think that because they've made these plans, these wonderful plans to travel maybe to London and Frankfurt and New York to make a little money, they think that because they've made those plans are going to work. Maybe today they think, maybe tomorrow they're going to go to this city or plan to go to that one, stay there a little while and make some money. They think that their plans are watertight, that their plans will succeed. They're making the error of thinking that they are in control. But it doesn't take long, really, for us to realize that our plans are fallible. You cannot guarantee that your plans will work out how you think they will. You see, you might be planning a foreign holiday this summer, but the country you want to go to might not end up on that magical green list. You might move to Suffolk for a new job, thinking you're going to come here for a couple of years and then you're going to head off somewhere else. But actually, you end up being here for the long term. You see, James highlights two specific problems with our plans in verse 14. The first is that we can't tell the future. You see, you can't tell the future. It'd be a wonderful gift to be able to do that, but you can't. And you can't even do it on the small things. Now, I wonder if you can tell me what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. Here in Bury St Edmunds, what do we think the weather is going to be like tomorrow? I've just got my grandmother's voice in my head telling me that because it's May, we should never shed a cloud till May is out. So that does mean that the weather is going to be, it could change. And BBC Weather this morning, they say they're currently forecasting a day of light cloud tomorrow with showers and a gentle breeze. They reckon that there will be a high of 14 degrees and a chance of it raining at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But for all their skill, all their technological know-how, can the weather forecasters really be certain that at precisely 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, it's going to rain or not rain in Bury St Edmunds? More precisely, how do they know that the wind is going to be 10 mile an hour gusts at 11 o'clock in the morning in Horringer? You see, the truth is, we can't be certain about tomorrow's forecast. We can have a good go, we can have a good stab, have a good expectation of what might happen tomorrow. But we certainly don't want to know what's going to happen the day after that, or the day after that, and trying to work out what next week's weather is going to be like the week after. Well, that's a very difficult thing to do. You see, we're not able to tell the future with any degree of certainty. We're not reliable fortune tellers. We don't have the power to peek into the future and to know for sure. And that's one of the reasons why the pandemic and the lockdowns have just been so disorientating for people. It's because it's just been so unexpected, so unknowable, so baffling. Because imagine going back to 2015 and telling people even a little bit about what it's been like, and you wouldn't be believed. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And if we don't know what tomorrow will bring or the day after that, how can we be presumptuous about the plans that we know? How can we possibly boast that because we've made a plan, we'll be able to go and do this or do that, when actually the future is outside of our control? The second reason why our plans are infallible is actually somewhat more uncomfortable for us. James writes, What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You are a little mist that appears for you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's always one of the things I used to love about living. I grew up kind of in Saxmundham, further east. You get these wonderful dags that would roll in the autumn and the springtime. Come near sunset in the afternoon, it would be a proper pea super outside. You couldn't see anything at all. But by 10 o'clock in the morning, that massive cloud would have covered everything. That fog, that mist would be gone. Whilst it was here one moment and every way the next, it was gone. And James, when he compares us to being like mist, it's a rather picturesque way of saying, your life is short. You see, humans don't live very long. When you're a teenager, an adult who is in their 30s seems positively ancient. And that's before we start to talk about those exotic people in their 40s or 50s. They seem ancient. But it doesn't take very long before life whizzes along. Human beings live a little while and then disappear. There's a church minister by the name of Rico Tice who has a very good way of illustrating how brief our lives are and how quickly they're forgotten. Now, there's lots of us here together this morning, so this feels like a good representative poll in the room. So I wonder if you could raise your hand if you happen to know the first name of any of your four great-grandfathers. Raise your hand if you know the first name of any of your four great-grandfathers. Okay, we've got a few. We're probably looking at about, for those who are at home, we're probably looking at about a third of people. Who could name two great-grandfathers by their first name? We're down to two. Can you name three? Four. These are people who you are blood relatives to. These are people who lived within the last 100 years, whose prime of their lives was probably 50, 60 years ago. Their family, you carry around their DNA, you carry around their likeness, but we don't remember all of them. We don't know very often much more than that. And that's because we're missed. It's disconcerting for us to realise that, but humans are temporary and fragile. We're here one moment, and then we're gone. We're not in complete control. You are not in control. And so James wants to teach us this morning that we need to approach our plans with humility. We might plan to buy a certain house or move to a certain village or send our children to a specific school, but we don't know what the future will bring. We don't live forever and we cannot be certain about our plans. Because ultimately we are not in control. We're not the masters of our destinies. Now that might sound all a bit scary, but I want to say that actually it's very good news. Because whilst we might not be in control, there is someone who is in control. Someone who is good and kind and powerful and perfect. And that's much better news, as we'll see secondly this morning in verses 15 to 17, that our God is in control. James writes, especially in verse 15, he says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, sometimes you'll hear Christians say this. You'll hear them say, Lord willing, we'll be moving next week. Or, I'm planning on starting my new job in September, Lord willing. And sometimes you'll even hear Christians say this, almost, dare I say it, a little bit superstitiously, whenever they plan to do something, like go for a walk with a friend or plan a trip to the shops. But this shouldn't be a superstition, because this is a deep and a profound truth. Because we worship the God who is in control, who is Lord of everything, who knows everything. And James reminds us, for we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But God does. He knows what's going to happen next Wednesday. He knows what's going to happen next week, next year, next millennium. He even knows what's going to happen in a million years' time. And he doesn't just know what's going to happen here in Bury St. Edmunds, but he knows what's going to be happening in a little village outside Vladivostok. He even knows what's going to be happening on one of the planets in the Alpha Centauri solar system. See, the Lord knows everything. And James reminds us of just how short our life is. We are a mist. We're here one moment, and we're gone the next. And more than that, we have bodies. We can only be in one place at a time. Unless you're some sort of Marvel, secret Marvel superhero, and you've got a power that I don't know anything about. But usually, most human beings who I've met can only be in one place at a time, unless maybe they're daydreaming. So you're here this morning, or you're at home watching, but you can't be both here and also in Tokyo, or at the bottom of the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean, or standing on the surface of the moon, or orbiting around a supernova in a galaxy at the far end of the universe. But God can. He's not limited. He's spirit. And he's everywhere. And he's eternal. You see, God always has been. Before there was anything, God was. You see, there's never been a time when God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit didn't exist. And God will always be. Even if time was to end, even if the universe was to come to a complete stop, God would always be. God measures the time of our universe by the trillions of the years. But we? Well, we're told to number our days. We celebrate our birthdays. We mark the years. And Jesus is given a special name to reflect this. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. There's another way of saying that he is the very beginning and the very end. You see, all that is to say that you are very much not in control. I am very much not in control. But we know that God is. And that's a very, very good thing. Because as Christians, we believe that through Jesus, we can know God. Better than that, that through Jesus, we become God's children. He becomes our Father in heaven. And if you're a Christian, then you have been adopted by the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal creator of the universe as his child. And God is going to use all of those powers, all of his perfections, all of his holiness, all of his power, all of creation for our good. Last summer, as a church family, we spent time on a Sunday working our way through Romans chapter 8. And in that chapter of the Bible, we hear these wonderful words about what God is doing for us. Paul writes this. He says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, God is for us. He's in control. And if you're a Christian, if you're his child, then he's using that power for your good. So when we make plans, and making plans and having dreams is a good thing, we need to do so with humility. Because we're not the ones who are ultimately in control. The merchants who James is originally criticizing, they are acting as if they are almost like mini gods. They can make their plans and they will always succeed. But through Jesus, we know who the one true God is. And we can pray to him. We can ask for his help as we seek to make plans. You see, we should seek to live in such a way that our plans match God's plans. And God hasn't been silent about that. He doesn't tell us in the Bible who specifically we should go and marry, or what house we should move into, or what sort of pension we should get. But God does tell us that he wants to glorify us, that he wants to make us perfect like Jesus. So we should be planning to do things that will help us to grow more like Jesus, to do things that will help us to love, to be patient, to be kind and gentle. And God wants us to take the good news of Jesus to the whole world. He wants to use normal churches and average Christians like us to share the good news of Jesus with everyone. We should try to live according to God's plan as he reveals it to us in the Bible. But if we're not in control, and God is in control, it should ultimately comfort us. Because we live in a crazy and unexpected world. And it sometimes feels as if things couldn't get any harder or weirder or busier. But God is working for the good of all those who love him. So we don't need to be afraid of how little we know about tomorrow, or about how our plans might get derailed, or even that our life is like a mist. Because we know the one who is in control. And he is good and perfect and true. And he is your Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen and reigning over everything. We thank you so much that this morning that we can know that you are in control of all things. Help us to be a people who are humble about our plans. Help us to know that you are the one who is ultimately in control. But may we draw comfort and strength from that truth, knowing that you are ruling and reigning and working for our good forever and ever and ever. And we pray this in Christ's name.